Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor Oscar Clavel delivers a message entitled, Gospel in the Gray.
Our gospel lesson this morning is the conclusion of Matthew's gospel, the glorious commandment of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Sharon. And our second reading comes from the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2, only verse 8. So deeply do we care for you that we are determined to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you have become very dear to us. This is the word of our Lord. And let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this day. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth may be pleasing in your sight, that the meditations of our hearts may bring you glory and honor. But Lord, we also trust your Holy Spirit already speaking to us, already molding our hearts to hear the message that is for us this day. Holy Spirit, we welcome you and we thank you for the work you're about to do. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Over the next 4 weeks, we'll be preaching from themes based on our all-church read, Living the Gospel in the Gray. And the book is, for those of you that have started to read it or haven't read it yet, you realize that the book is about evangelism and really redefining what it means to share the gospel and really just to dispel some of those inadequacies or fears that we might have about sharing it and what it looks like and what it feels like. You know, as followers of Jesus Christ, we know that sharing the gospel is important. Our faith is really grounded in the concept that this is good news. You know, in ancient times, emperors, governors, they would send edicts that were called the good news of Herod, the good news of Caesar Augustus. And really, they were edicts that declared that a military victory had been accomplished, land had been claimed, a riot or something had been quelched. And any time that they saw the people in the cities and the towns saw the messengers bringing the gospel, the good news, people would be excited because they knew that something good had happened either in their community or for the empire. And the early Christians used that word gospel because they also saw that Jesus had done a very calculated victory, and they used military terms. He had victory over sin. He had victory over evil. And so when people in the ancient times thought of the gospel of Jesus Christ, they thought of it in that same way. This is stuff that is exciting. Those who hear it, who see their messengers coming forward, should be excited because something good has happened. And the church has historically been convinced of the value of the message and convinced of the person of Jesus Christ. And so, for centuries, the church has actively evangelized pretty much all over the world at one time or the other. And our scripture reading that Sharon read for us highlights this for us, that there is an active and ongoing sharing of the gospel. And it's really an ordinance or an order, something that you are to do. But over the last decade, the church has probably taken a pause and has had an opportunity to reflect on not the value of evangelism, because we still believe that evangelism is valuable. But really, we have begun to ask a different question. What does it mean to make a disciple of Jesus Christ, not a convert? And see, for many years, when I saw the verses that Sharon read for us, I actually just read them, go therefore and make converts. That's about numbers, right? It's about the amount of people you can get in. Discipleship, though, as the church is reflecting on this, is really something much more dynamic, much more intimate, requires time, intentionality. And so in many ways, we are rediscovering the Great Commission at its truest and its most faithfulness, discipleship. And that's where we pick up today, because evangelism for many of us, perhaps today or in the past, has normally meant a formula, a method, or a prayer. You could think of it as four steps. You know, you're interacting with someone, step one, check, step two, check, two, three, check, check. And if you get to step three, oof, you're in it. Get to step four, and you're done. And we've seen evangelism mainly as programming. I've got two stories I want to share with you. They're stories about my life, because my life is so interesting, just as yours. But my first story is really a story of zeal that I had in my early 20s. I had this great zeal. I really believed, and still do, but the zeal is different nowadays, that I was to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I had been taught different methodologies, formulas, and it just so ended up being that I lived in Dallas at that time, and on Friday nights during rush hour, as people were getting on their buses or the trolleys to go home out of the city, I would stand on a garbage can, and I would yell at people that they were going to hell, they were sinners, and they needed Jesus Christ. Now, some of you are wondering, oof, I can't see that about Pastor Oscar. Well, you don't know me that well. That's the problem. Those that know me pretty well, they're like, yeah, definitely can see that one. But I would do that almost religiously on Friday nights. And I did it, and guess what? Not one good result ever happened out of it. Not one. I had more people angry at me. I had more people look at me like I was crazy. In fact, I even brought friends with me because I was afraid I was going to get attacked by people's anger. And I really thought at that age and at that time in my life, with all that zeal, that I was doing God's work. This is what God wants me to do. And the truth of the matter is that when I got home and people would ask me, how'd it go tonight? I was always so disappointed that I would tell people, nothing. Because what I really wanted is I wanted numbers. I wanted to tell someone, I had three people, man. They just came up to me. They were so impacted by all my damnation that they just surrendered their lives to the Lord right then and there. In my zeal, I thought I loved the Lord, but I didn't care about people. They were just a number to me. You see, this is evangelism. How some of us have experienced it, we've seen it, we've observed it, and honestly, this is probably why a good amount of us cringe or kind of, tense up when the word evangelism is thrown around, because we think to ourselves, I don't have the knowledge, I don't have the know-how of what to do. But we've got to realize that Jesus isn't calling us to what I did in my early 20s. Rather, Jesus is calling us to make disciples. And this is something that, folks, we will discover in the next few weeks is much more dynamic and much more exciting than a formula. Because what we are really asking people to do, and listen to this, because I think this is great. We are asking people to join us on the same road that we are walking down with Jesus. But here becomes the paramount question, okay? Does the journey that you have with Jesus, is it meaningful and life-altering enough that you actually want to invite people to walk it with you? Is it that exciting? You see, as a church, we are rediscovering that if we walk close to Jesus, we'll believe a few things about him. We'll believe, first and foremost, that Jesus was the master of living. You know, there's this term that we throw around in society, the good life, right? And it normally means cars and houses and maybe a little bit of money. But Jesus says, that's not the good life. I can actually show you the good life. And in fact, not only can I show it to you, but you today could be living the good life. And see, we have to be convinced that Jesus had the answers of all of life. And we don't need to convince people that Jesus is the answer, because you yourselves are a witness that he is the answer. Your life shows it. And this, folks, though, this walking with Jesus, this being convinced, this knowledge, this acknowledgement, this touch of the Holy Spirit, that the life that I am living in Christ is so good that others just, they need to join me in this journey. Ultimately, though, gets us into the very gray areas of people's lives. The areas of people's lives where we intentionally enter into somebody else's mess. That we have to listen to the story of someone's life, witness their life together. And we discover in that witnessing of the life, in that sharing of a life, that the gospel is less about a number or a pride of oneself, but rather a trust that the Holy Spirit can do something in somebody's life beyond the words that you use. My second story is a few years later, still living in Dallas at the time. There is an area of Dallas, I don't know if it still is today, it's called Oaklawn. It was primarily the gay community of Dallas. And I was a part of, the best way I could describe it was very much a covert evangelism team that went into this area and had some ulterior motives, very judgmental at some levels. And I was a part of this group for a few weeks. And a few years with the Lord, of course, kind of toned me down a little bit. Wasn't standing on trash cans anymore. But I still was very judgmental. So rather than yelling, I'd say like, hey, come over here, come over here. Kind of like I was a drug dealer or something, you know. But I discovered in a few weeks that that approach was not even helpful at all. So one Friday night, as I'm down in Oaklawn with a group of friends, I just say, hey, I'm going to go get a cup of coffee at the Starbucks. And my plan was just to kind of wait out the rest of the night until everybody met up and go home. It was a pretty busy night at that Starbucks and sat down at a table, and another young guy sat next to me, or not next to me, but at the same table that I was at. And we just had this really great conversation, you know, talking about our moms, of course, as all Latin men do, talk about their mothers. Talked about our lives, you know, things that we'd been doing. I was in college at that time, he was working. And before you knew it, a whole hour had passed up, and I looked at my watch, and I was like, oh my gosh, I've got to get going. And he just kind of said this striking question, what were you doing down here, by the way? I said, you know, I'm kind of a part of this group that, you know, is out here to share the gospel, but it's a bit offensive now that I think about it, though, the way that we've been doing this. And kind of with this look in his face, he said, well, I guess get to it. And I kind of had to take a step back and think to myself, gosh, I don't think the formula works anymore. And I said to him, you know, I wanted to go into this whole spiel, but over the last hour, I feel like we've become friends. And I guess if there's anything I could say is, as much as I've enjoyed spending time with you, the God that loves you and loves me, I think we'd just love to get to know you as well. As we got up and were heading out the door, he hugged me and tears in his eyes. He said, thank you so much for sharing that. And we just hugged in a Starbucks on a Friday night. Never saw him again. Never did that ministry again either. The gospel, when it's lived, takes you into the gray areas of people's lives. Your sons and daughters are also in the gray areas of life. Your coworker, your neighbor, your friends, they also live in the gray areas of life. And as a church, if all we teach you is black and white thinking, but not to listen, not to witness to somebody's life, not to intentionally be there for them, We have failed you as a church, Tab. We have failed you. Because evangelism is not about the 1, 2, 3, and I'm done. Evangelism is about the life that we live and the people, check this out, the people that God allows us, and I really mean this, allows us the privilege to cross paths with. Think about that. The people that God allows you the privilege to cross paths with. Folks, over the next few weeks, this is what we're going to be discovering. This is what we're talking about. I want you to be excited about evangelism, not as a program that we're going to sell to you or tell you, but rather to open your eyes, to open your hearts to that which is around you already, and to live and live fiercely, live fully. And in your hearts, you will know that Jesus is Lord. Let the earth rejoice. And we'll be doing this together. Please close your eyes with me as we close with this prayer. Gracious God, as we heard this message today, I believe your Holy Spirit is already showing and speaking to us names and sons and daughters, family members, co-workers, neighbors, friends, that we have been maybe too judgmental to step into the gray of their lives. We want quick fix. We want the formula. And yet, Lord, discipleship is much more dynamic and much more life-giving. So, Lord, help us in the living of our lives, in the living of our lives together. May we be excited, convinced fully that Jesus is the answer, because we know him for ourselves. Oh, Holy Spirit, do the work that I have not been able to do this morning, only the work that you can do in my heart and in the hearts of my congregation. Please, Holy Spirit, I ask for your help.